he do it again? Mike Tibbet. Bibby stops. Pops. Bibby, good hero again. Seconds, no timeouts. Tyreek at the hole.
Oh, Cousins gets a touch, but he helps out.
Wow, in. Oh, that is a marriage jam to Marcus Cousins, nearly brought down the backboard and rim.
You're now listening to the Kings Court Podcast, presented by SackKingsNation.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Kings Court Podcast. I'm your host, Vince Miracle, and I am doing a solo show today. So I said, hey, why not just do it live and get you guys, you know, into this show and make it something a little bit more entertaining for not just yourselves as the listener, but myself, and pushing myself to do something that I haven't done in a very long time. Joe's not feeling very well. He was unable to join me on the show, but like we said on Monday's episode, this is now becoming a daily show, and we're going to make this a daily show for you guys every single week. Monday through Friday, we will be giving you your Sacramento Kings news. We're working on weekends as well. We just haven't figured out the full schedule for that, but Monday through Friday, you will have a Sacramento Kings, the Kings Court podcast, broadcasted straight to you. We are broadcasting live here on Mixlr.com. If you guys are not a subscriber yet to this channel, become a subscriber, leave us a rating, and there's a heart button that you guys can be pushing. Please push that, and there's actually a live chat section that is going on here on this show, so if you guys want to start leaving your guys' chats, just start joining the chat board and answering your guys's, I'll start answering your guys' questions here on this show, and yeah, we'll let's just get this thing going, because I am limited to 1 hour here on the cast. And what I want to talk about is, you know, the Kings' very first win of the preseason against Maccabi Haifa. And first off, let me just say that name, I couldn't pronounce it on Monday's episode, but I will say this, I love saying it now because I'm getting pretty good at it. One. And two, it's such a cool name to say, Maccabi Haifa, because they stay hyper. And it was a very fun game. I was actually in the building, sitting up there with some fans, and it was just a lot of fun to be in that environment once again, and to step into that new arena. I think was something that just blew me away, and it's something that if you're not looking at possibly going to a game this season, I really think you should reconsider that. I know the prices have gone up a little bit, and I fully understand having the money, because trust me, I'm one of those guys that understands money issues from how I was growing up, and then things that you have to work for whatever that you want to get. And so again, I fully understand that part of it. But if you ever find tickets on sales or anything like that, I think that's something you definitely want to look into, and trying to find a way to get into a Kings game this season, because what they did with this arena is just beautiful. And it's one of those things that I'm just blown away by, just walking in. The only critique I have is the Jolly Rancher that they have sitting in front of, that they call their artistic statue. I don't know what it's supposed to be. I guess you perceive it in your own mind of what it is, but it's a Jolly Rancher. It's a lollipop. It's something that they sell at candy stores. I don't know what it is. It's very artsy. Maybe if you guys, I want to hear what your guys' thoughts on it are. If you guys have seen it, you guys have probably seen pictures of it at least. I mean, what are your thoughts on that thing? Please, again, chat board's open. I want to start taking your guys' fan questions here on the show. But let's just go ahead and run down the stat lines, and I'll give you guys some of my biggest takeaways, and of course some of the positive and the negatives from that game, as well as start looking forward to Wednesday's game against the Los Angeles Lakers. So first off, we have Rudy Gay, who played 19 minutes. He finished with 11 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. I mean, I think Rudy Gay is really taking on, I mean, you're seeing the assist numbers stay around 3 in each of these games. And I think that's exactly what you want to see from a guy like Rudy Gay. And, you know, the cool thing about Rudy Gay, too, is that at the end of the game, he was playing with the fans, he's playing with the crowd a little bit with the camera, and of course his teammates, he's smiling out there. And this is why people were wondering, like, oh, is he going to play bad? Is he going to do this? Is he going to do that? I really don't think he's going to be a bad influence on this team at all. I really believe that Rudy Gay is a consummate professional. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be on the floor working his hardest and is going to try and help this team win. Because when it's all said and done, that's what he wants. He wants to be on a winning team. And I've been on the record in saying this. I believe he is a top 10 small forward. He's a top 10 player at his position. And I don't think the Kings should give up on him yet. I know there's been talks that, you know, maybe his mind could be changed to where he stays in Sacramento. But, you know, I'm still looking at it as he's going to be gone at the end of the season. And I think the Kings need to trade him before the season begins if that's the case. But if they believe that they can change his mind and that's the mindset that they're rolling with, I think that Rudy Gay is showing what he could bring to this team right away, and that's someone who is unselfish, who's willing to pass the basketball, but can also take over a game when needed. After that, we have DeMarcus Cousins, who played 17 minutes. He finished with 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a block on 5 of 7 shooting. You know, there wasn't really a huge takeaway. You knew he was going to bully anybody that he comes into contact with. No matter who the opponent be, it can be Maccabi Haifa, it can be the Los Angeles Clippers, and it's DeAndre Jordan. No matter who is getting hit by DeMarcus Cousins, you're going to feel it. And I think that Maccabi Haifa felt it. The only bad thing that I would say from this game is that you saw DeMarcus Cousins get into foul trouble early. He had some blocking fouls get called on him. He finished the night with 5 personal fouls. So maybe working on the feet work, he was getting frustrated. You saw him getting frustrated with the referees. He did not explode, though, which was good. And at the same time, it's also only preseason. So maybe there's footwork issues, maybe things like that, or maybe the referee was just blowing the whistle. The 3 turnovers, I think, is something that needs to be lowered down, especially for fantasy-wise. For those who don't know, I do host a Fantasy NBA Today show live Tuesdays and Thursdays, and soon to be daily starting next week. But every Tuesday and Thursday, we are live on YouTube. So just go on YouTube.com, type in HoopBall, and look for that channel and subscribe there. And also subscribe to the Sac Kings Nation channel while you're there, YouTube.com/SacKingsNation, and you'll find our channel with all of our awesome videos covering the Sacramento Kings. But for fantasy value-wise on DeMarcus Cousins, I think that's also something that needs to come down as the 3 turnovers. It needs to be very much shortened. But the things that you saw from him, you know, the running up the defense and being the last one down and getting the open 3-pointer, and the fact that he was making the shots last year, and you know Maccabi Haifa was scouting what he was doing throughout the season last year, DeMarcus got people unbalanced. They pump, then he'd drive, and he'd do all the, and then he'd also knock down a corner 3. There was a time where the buzzer was about to go off. You heard the whole crowd yell, shoot. He shot it, nothing but net. They happened to rescind that 3-pointer later on to where the score at the end of the half, or at the end of the first, was 39-25 or something like that. But it went in, and it looked nice. And his stroke doesn't look like it's going to go anywhere anytime soon. It does look like he's going to be taking 3-pointers this season. Kosta Koufos once again got the start. He played 14 minutes and had 9 points and 3 rebounds in his time on the floor. And really, a lot of his points came in that third quarter. And I actually was very entertained by that third quarter, because there were times where he had Scal on the floor and they were trying to make a play and nothing was actually happening. And then you saw Koufos say, forget this, I'm just going to go score. Ran down there and got a nice little layup. So it was great to see Koufos play well in his limited minutes. The question to me, though, is when is Willie Cauley-Stein going to get a crack with the starters? Like, when are you going to see the DeMarcus Cousins and Willie Cauley-Stein lineup? Because I think that needs to happen as a starting group, mainly due to the fact that I think the bench unit needs a guy who can be a DeMarcus Cousins off the bench, and I think that's what Kosta is going to bring. He's going to be a post guy that can be running on the high post and also be taking it down low and doing his favorite little hook shot that never looks like it goes in. It's going to go in, but then it does. So I really want to see that. But Willie Cauley-Stein hasn't looked that great in the preseason either. So are they leaning toward Kosta Koufos starting? I still think no. I still think it's going to be Willie Cauley-Stein as the starter. But that is drawing question marks that he is still starting this far into the preseason. Again, only 3 games. Take it with a grain of salt. And plus, he only played his 14 minutes. Aaron Aflalo played 13 minutes and had 8 points and 1 rebound. But man, were those 8 points fun to watch. He was one of those guys that was getting open for threes. He did have some issues holding onto the basketball in the beginning of the game. But, I mean, he had this buzzer-beating layup. He had a couple threes. I mean, he looked good. And I'll say this. He is surprising me. And I said it before, and I'm going to continue to say, he's surprising me here. Because I'm not a huge fan of Aaron Aflalo, but it looks like he's fitting this system very well, this Memphis high post system where DeMarcus can get out the top, he can go post somebody, or he can get screened to get that open three-pointer in the corner. It's working for him, and I'm actually very entertained watching him on the floor. Although I will say this, I'm going to give a huge shout-out to Alex Perez of Maccabi Haifa, because this guy was putting him in skates, he was putting Lawson in skates, this guy was fun to watch. Sacramento, put him on Vivek Vladi, put this man on a 10-day contract. He's from Dallas, Texas. There's Alex Perez. He was number two for those who were there. He was number two. He was fun. He was fun to watch. And I want him on. I had like three guys in the row that I was sitting at yelling the same thing. Sign him to a 10-day. Sign him to a 10-day. Because he was playing very, very well. Continuing on here, we had Ty Lawson getting the start once again. And wow, he was wow. 13 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals on 5 of 6 shooting. He put on a performance against Maccabi Haifa. Again, it's a European team. You knew the Kings were going to dominate this one. It just so happens that American basketball is a little bit better than what's happening overseas, and that's why they won the gold medal. But wow, it was a performance that I think was much needed for a guy like Ty Lawson, knowing that Darren Collison will be missing the first 8 games of the season. And he played strong. He was quick. He didn't look like he lost a step at all that a lot of people were talking about. I'm gonna still stay a little reserved on Ty Lawson, though. I've said it on the show before, and I'm going to continue saying it until I think I've seen an emerging Ty Lawson become something a little bit different. But he's a guy that is a decent signing. It's a low-end, decent reward type of signing. And I think he's going to come off the bench as a solid veteran presence for this team. I know people are saying, oh, he's kind of like Rondo, where he had a bad year in Dallas and this and that, and he's going to come here and try and make money and get on a contract and all this stuff. And I was like, I don't see it that way. I see it as Ty Lawson is coming here on the last legs of his career because of what happened in Denver. What happened in Houston was a train wreck, and you guys can blame it on being with James Harden or in that system, but he had a stint with Houston that was not good. Then he goes to Indiana and was slightly better, but not that much better. So you're really going over his last season and maybe year and a half of where it really wasn't that good. And I know he has the confidence coming into Sacramento that the team is going to let him play. But you've seen stretches during these preseason games when he's on the floor that he might not be a good fit for this system. He's addicted to the dribble drive because of George Karl's system. And he may have picked up quite a bit of bad habits, and that's going to probably affect him during the regular season. But in this game, they ran a 1-2 lineup of 2 point guards with him and Darren Collison on the floor to start the third quarter. And I thought that was something that, I don't think they're going to shy away from in the regular season. I honestly believe you can see that lineup happening at some point, not necessarily with the remaining 3 guys that were on the floor. I believe it was Scalabissier, Costa Kufis, and the 3, I believe, was Garrett Temple. But I don't think you'll see that type of rendition of it, but you're going to see those 1 and 2 of Lawson and Collison on the floor together at times. And I think that would be an entertaining thing to see because Collison's used to playing that 2, man. People forget what he was doing for the Clippers and with Chris Paul, and it should not be forgotten because he was helping that Clippers team coming off the bench as a super sub and playing next to a guy like Chris Paul in the playoffs. So I definitely think that's something you want to keep your eye on. But his 13 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, and 3 steals was a jaw-dropper. He played very well. Anthony Tolliver off the bench played 16 minutes and scored 14 points. He was Mr. Buckets. I mean, you left him open, you might as well have just, you would have blinked and the thing was nothing but net. He was already running down the floor. I mean, he was wet. I thought he was a splash brother out there. This dude was throwing it. He was just throwing the ball in the air, and it was going in. There was a time where the foul was called. He threw the ball in the air like he was just trying to do it for a lob, and the ball almost went in. This guy was wet. He found his rhythm, and I think that's exactly what he's going to bring to this team is a wet ball from three-point range, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to be something where that veteran presence is going to be needed on the floor. My question mark is, how much time is he actually going to see during the regular season? I'm going to say it's going to vary on how well Willie Cauley-Stein picks up on this system, how well Omer Caspi does in this system, because I said I think he might be the one that has the biggest issues with Dave Yeager's system this year, not necessarily from a team perspective, but just statistically and being able as a looked at as a fit for this team. I don't think he'll be that good, but I think maybe depending on how Caspi plays and how much they're going to start doing Rudy Gay at the four, because they did do that as well in this game. So Tolliver was fun. Ben McLemore, 24 minutes, 18 points, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 block, and 2 3-pointers. I want to hear you guys' thoughts on Ben McLemore while I'm giving out my take on this. So there is actually a chat board. You guys get in there, ask your questions, join the conversation. I definitely want to hear your guys' thoughts on a guy like Ben McLemore, because for me, watching this game, he was, I believe, the team's leading scorer with 18. I was correct. He's the team leading scorer with 18. But it was not a good 18 points. I know they're saying that he looked good, but he didn't to me. He looked like he was shooting shots, and he just didn't have the legs underneath him. And maybe, you know, he shot 7 of 13. It's not like he had a bad game by any stretch of the imagination. But he struggled. He struggled in this game, especially to start off. That first quarter was bad. The second quarter, okay, he got a couple dunks. He looked okay in the second quarter. Third quarter was pretty bad. Fourth quarter, the game was already out of hand. You know the Kings were going to win. So he started shooting shots, and he got a couple steals, got a couple dunks, and you know he made up his stat line. So I wasn't blown away by Ben McLemore's performance at all, and I think he's actually coming in at an underwhelming preseason, where I also think that he can actually be a good fit in this Dave Yeager system. I think he can flourish, actually, in this system, because he's going to be told what to do and where he needs to be. But he's not playing well in this preseason, and this game was just another one of, yeah, he got the stats, but he didn't look good, and that's just my opinion. I would love to hear what you guys thought. Again, this is a live show, and I'm actually going to pause the show right here to give a shout-out to our sponsor. Everyone, go to BrickHouseIndustries.com. Check out all their apparel from hats, shirts, and socks, and when checking out, be sure to use promo code KingsCourt, and you will get a 10% discount right on us. Also, guys, we have partnered up with FanDuel.com. You guys can go on SatKingsNation.com, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and click on that FanDuel link and start winning real money today. You set your daily lineup, everyday daily fantasy sports. You can win real money same day. It's been a lot of fun. The preseason has been having me up and down with my winnings so far, but it's been a lot of fun to play. And again, go on SatKingsNation.com, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and click on that FanDuel link so they know you joined FanDuel because of us. Continuing down the stat sheet here, we have Darren Collison, who played 16 minutes, had 11 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. This guy is going to be good in this system. This guy, I'm a huge Darren Collison fan. Since my days of doing this show by myself on an iPad and looking it through the YouTube when I first started doing this show on the Kings app when the Maloofs owned the team and the Kings traded away Isaiah Thomas for Darren Collison, I had been a Darren Collison fan. You guys can run the tape on me. I've been a fan since my days when I had to stick up for him when I was with a lot of those other sites like Golden Gate Sports or CK. I was over there for a little while. I had to defend my boy Darren Collison, because I do believe he was a starter caliber player, and I think that he deserved the minutes, and this year he's going to get it once he returns from his 8-game suspension. I tweeted about it after I saw it. In 6 minutes, he had 6 points, 5 assists, 3 steals, and just 1 turnover. He did not turn the ball over again for the rest of the game. He finished the game again with 11 points, 5 assists, 4 steals, and just 1 turnover. He had a stellar game. Very impressed with Darren Collison, and I think not only is he going to be a reality player for those fantasy owners out there that play fantasy sports, he is someone that you're going to want to get in the late middle rounds of your fantasy drafts. Omer Caspi, I talked about him a little bit in the beginning of the show, and now we actually got to him. And his stat line, I think, speaks to what he has the potential to do in this system, and that's maybe crumble a little bit statistically. You know what he's going to do as a veteran leader, but statistically, I don't think he's going to do that well. He finished the game in 15 minutes with 4 points, 4 rebounds, and 1 steal on 2 of 6 shooting. He missed both of his free throw attempts, missed both of his 3-pointer attempts, and had 2 turnovers. He did not look good. And again, I like Omer Caspi. I think he's probably going to be the fan favorite in Sacramento. Last year, I believe it was Seth Curry. He was and Quincy Acey were like the true fan favorites. I think this year it's going to be all on Omri Caspi. And he deserves minutes after what he did last year. He should have been in a three-point contest last year. But he's also a guy that thrived in the up-and-down system. Because he is one of those players that likes to get it and run. He likes to get the ball and run to the basket. And even in a half-court set, he would like to get the ball at the wing and drive it in and do that wacky floater that he always does. And it goes in. But in this system, that's not what's happening. You saw it against Maccabi Haifa. You saw in the two preseason games prior. They try and post him. He's too small. To any power forward that he's posting or any small forward that actually has some meat on him, that can't happen. Omri Caspi doesn't have a post game. I'm sorry, guys. He needs to develop. If he wants to do that, he needs to develop one. And right now, he just doesn't have it. And I think that you're going to get to a point where you can't teach an old dog new tricks with Omri Caspi. But he can shoot the basketball, and this is just preseason, so you definitely want to take this with a hashtag grain of salt. But it's been one of those things where I think Omri Caspi just needs to have one good game, and you can change my mindset on him. I'm not giving up on a guy like Omri Caspi, but like I said on yesterday's show with Joe, I think this could be a system that actually hurts Omri Caspi a little bit and may not give him the same production as he had last season in George Karl's up-and-down offense. Willie Cauley-Stein played 16 minutes last night. He had 6 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 1 block. 3 of 3 shooting. He did not miss a shot. He did not get to the free throw line, and he did turn over the ball one time. But he also had 5 fouls. And that's, I mean, Willie Cauley-Stein is not really claiming that power forward spot like a lot of us wanted him to. It started off in summer league, where he tried to show his offensive game, and they were trying to make him a number one option. That didn't work for him. And, you know, this system that Jaeger's running is going to be completely different to what he is used to. I believe James Hammond and Aaron Bruschi were talking about on the Kings Insider podcast on their most recent episode, is where this is a brand new type of style for Willie Cauley-Stein. Even coming out of college, and you see what Cauley-Stein was doing with that up and down, being a rim runner for Coach John Calipari, and then coming into a King system where with George Karl, it's run up and down, get alley-oops, and dunk the ball and block the ball. I mean, that's what he's good at, and that's why he was able to make the rookie All-NBA second team. But this system is a little bit different. You have a set. You're playing man-to-man defense the entire time. I mean, you see it. Even if a screen is set, you have the center show, and you get back to your man. This is a man-on-man defense, which is fine. I think Willie Cauley-Stein is going to thrive in that. But then you go to a high-post offense on the opposite end, where he's still too small to really put his back to the basket and bump into anybody. We're still question mark on his jump shot. He is able to pass, and he's a willing passer, but I wouldn't say he's a good passer. I'd say he's average. He has a good feel for the game. And he had a nice pass to, I believe, Costa on a fast break. But yeah, you want to see more, especially from a defensive player like Willie Cauley-Stein. And in his second year, maybe it's a sophomore slump. Potentially you're seeing that right now. But he has not really made a case for himself on why he should be a starter. And really people are just saying, look what he did last year. Okay, well, this is a what have you done for me lately. And what has he done for you lately? He had put on a very underwhelming performance in summer league, and the preseason you have not seen much better. So he needs to have a good game. And I honestly thought it was going to be in this one against a team that you knew the Kings were going to dominate in. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to do that. Next up, we have Garrett Temple, who played 17 minutes. He had 4 points, 2 rebounds, and 4 assists, and 0 turnovers again for Garrett Temple. And the thing I'm not gonna harp on Garrett Temple too much, just because I think I talked about him a lot on Friday's show last week about how people were worried. Oh, I don't think he can play the point guard because he's terrible at it. Blah 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 blah. No, and then he came up against the Warriors 13-5-5 with 3 3-pointers on 3 of 4 shooting from 3-point range and 0 turnovers. Back-to-back game with no turnovers and with at least, you know, over 3 assists. So I mean, and he has the ball in his hands. It's not like he's not controlling the game when he's on the floor. So I'm not worried about Garrett Temple. I will say this again, is that Temple in the fourth quarter of the game was on the floor with all of the rookies, Malachi, Scal, Willie, and he was out there coaching. He was out there telling Scal how he should open up his feet, and even with Ben, he was telling Ben, because Ben was the three at the time, you know, where he needed to be on the floor. He's talking to everyone on the court before he got taken out of the game for, I believe, Jordan Farmar. So it was, I think that's what you're seeing from a guy like Garrett Temple and why they signed him. He's not just a locker room guy, but he's a guy who could be effective when he's on the floor. And he's also a guy that you can expect to not only be a presence on the floor as from a statistical standpoint, but from a leadership standpoint. And that's what you want from a guy like Garrett Temple. Scalabissiere played 17 points. He had 10 points, or played 17 minutes and had 10 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks on 5 of 8 shooting. This was by far Scal's best performance of the preseason, and I think that's hands down. Everyone knew that, but this is why I said I don't think you should send Scal to the D-League. I think Papianis should go to the D-League. I think Malachi Richardson should be going down to the D-League and coming back and forth a little bit for practices, kind of like how they were doing with Eric Moreland. I think Malachi Richardson should be doing that. But with Scal, I think he has the potential to be something. And I think working with a guy like Anthony Tolliver and learning how to be a stretch four with his size, and then also working with a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, who can teach him how to post, you're going to get the best of both worlds on this roster. And then in games where you need him, I think he showed what he can be. He can play defense. Yes, he's a little skinny. He needs to bulk up a little bit. But he's long and he's tall and he's willing to do whatever he needs to do. He has a motor in the game. He has great charisma for that locker room. I think it adds to what they have already put together with this team, with Tolliver and Temple and even a guy like Matt Barnes, who is a good locker room guy. So I actually really want Scal to make this final roster. Malachi Richardson played 12 minutes. He had 9 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. I actually brought a friend to this game, and Malachi Richardson's one of his favorite players, and he's just said that this dude loves to shoot the basketball. In his 12 minutes of action, he shot 4 shots and made 3 of them, so that was cool. One of them happened to be a 3-pointer. So, you know, I think Malachi Richardson has the potential to be a J.R. Smith type of player. His defense needs to pick up, because I believe he went to Syracuse. I mean, there's no defense there. So you definitely want to see his defense improve. And, you know, he has fast-moving feet. There was a closeout that he did to, I believe, in number 8. And I don't know his name off the top of my head, and I just have the initials here for him on Maccabi FIFA. But, I mean, he closed out on him. The guy just happened to make the shots. But I have faith that Malachi Richardson can become something with development in the D-League. Jordan Farmar played 9 minutes as well. He had 2 rebounds and 1 assist. He also took a shot that he missed. Not much said there. Lamar Patterson got to see 6 minutes, got 2 rebounds. And Yorgos Papayannis played 4 minutes, scored 4 points, grabbed 2 rebounds, had an assist, had a steal, and he didn't miss a shot. He took 2 of 2. I'm not going to lie, this probably is by far his best performance as well. Yeah, I think he's going to be definitely going down to the D-League. I don't think that's going to be a shock at all. You know, I think with a guy like Papianis, it's more of you got to wait and see what they saw in him and why they chose him at 13, because they spoke so highly of him, Vladi at least did, once the draft ended, about how he can be an all-star. And when you say things like that, I know you're probably just sticking up for the pick that you made, but you said that, and now you have to, he has to now back that up. And I think that might have been a little bit unfair, because if you switch it and you put Scal in that position where he's drafted at 13 and you pick Papianis at, what was it, 28th, then you're okay with it. You're not having any issues, but that's not what happened. People say you can do that mindset. Yeah, but that's not what happened. And so now you have that thought in your mind of where Yorgos was the 13th pick. You guys decided it over Denzel, Wade Baldwin, over Malachi Richardson, and over Scalabissiere, the 2 players that you even got, that this guy was going to be something. And I think that's what makes it a little interesting, but I think he definitely has to go to the D-League, and he needs to develop for the next few years and see what he can turn into by year three. But I mean, this isn't the first time this happened. I mean, the Kings drafted Peja Stojakovic, and I believe it took two seasons before he actually came back to the States and played for the Kings and came off the bench and didn't do very well and then became a starter and started lighting it up. So it's not the first time the Kings have done something like this, where they drafted a player that needed development and they see the potential in him. All I'm saying is there was a good chance he was there at 28. But in this week draft, I did make the argument before, and I'll make it again. If you wanted that player, you just got to grab him, because this draft has not been strong except for Ben Simmons and I think some of those top guys. And now with Ben Simmons injured, I think it's an open door on who can be Rookie of the Year. My front runner right now, I think, is going to be Dario Saric. The people that did not play was Matt Barnes and Isaiah Cousins. And I believe, now that I've ran down the entire stat sheet here, that is going to be our show today, guys. The Sacramento Kings play against the Los Angeles Lakers on Wednesday, and that is going to be a very fun game. Oh, I apologize. It's actually on Thursday, and I kept saying Wednesday. That's actually going to be a very fun game, in my opinion. I think that this is going to be a team that that's going to see minutes and going to be able to produce against, because D'Angelo Russell has been going off the entire time. But we'll talk about that again on Wednesday show as we preview that game. I want to thank you guys all for listening to this live episode of the Kings Court Podcast. You guys subscribe to the show on iTunes. Leave us a rating. Go on SatKingsNation.com for all of your in-depth coverage of the Sacramento Kings. And until next time, Sacramento Kings fans, bye-bye.